Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Great Bear Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GBR and on the OTCQX under the symbol GTBAF. We are chatting with Chris Taylor, President and CEO of Great Bear. Now, Chris, we're following up on a news release that came out October 4th. This news release was taken very positively by the market. We've seen some buying come into the share price. And the headline here is Great Bear drills deep LP fault. Some of the grades that are highlighted, 157 grams per ton gold over 1.2 meters. That's within a little over 11 grams per ton gold over almost 23 meters. This is about 678 meters downhole. Now, I think the real important thing that was highlighted within this news release is that these are not infill holes. These holes were drilled to extend gold mineralization to depth. Chris, let's start with that point on these drill holes, the solid grades that we're seeing, but the importance here that these do simply grow this asset.
Yeah, Corey, thanks for the opportunity to chat today. Just joking with you before we went online that I feel like I need a direct caffeine IV drip into my arms right now. It's just been a busy couple of weeks. I've been all over the place, Red Lake, Toronto, now back in Vancouver today. So the importance of the news release and why we're so busy is, these are all expansion holes. So we knew, and we've been showing it now, I believe we're up to, it's nearly 450 LP holes published right now. I think just below that. So it's a lot of drill holes that are out and people just sort of expect the good results to keep coming. And frankly, so do we. But these are not holes that fill in between existing holes. These add to the mineralization at depth. And what we wanted to do, if you're actually a careful reader and you look at the sequence of drill holes and the numbering of them in the release, we don't always drill holes in the same number, but generally as time goes on, it's higher numbers over time. And you can see there's a spread of about 100 numbers between those holes. And what we wanted to do was put out enough deep holes, which take us a long time to drill, because some of those holes are a kilometer long. We wanted to put out enough holes at one time to definitively show that the system was big and it was present and well-developed in all the areas that we were drilling. So what we did was we took a kilometer and a half of strike length of deeper drilling at the LP and put all those holes out together. And we see exactly the same thing at depth that we see up above, which is high-grade mineralization in the middle of the system, very Hemlo-like for those of you in the industry that are familiar with Hemlo, predictable high-grade, and around that, the low-grade halo or the bulk tonnage halo. So some of the numbers that you just quoted, in the middle of the zone, for instance, we consistently see across kilometers, many areas, that higher grade stuff. And here that was 150 odd grams over just over a meter. And that was within an interval. If we look at the table of the release, that's actually within a broad low grade interval. And the closer you get to the middle, the higher grade it gets. So if you look at the total interval on that hole, I believe it was over 60 meters of about a gram and a half. And you think about that, you're not going to be mining a gram and a half material down at 600 or 700 meters down hole. But you will be mining that interval of, say, like 11 grams over 22 meters when you're down at that depth. And certainly, maybe even possibly the, just under 7 grams over 36 meter interval. Although, this is the kind of thing that we're working on now as we complete the studies on the project.
So, Chris, this actually ties in perfectly with the question that was sent in on the back of this news. It asked, is there a depth at which the lower grade zones will become uneconomic to mine? We see a lot of these high grade, but what about these low grade halos that the company's seeing? When does it really not matter in the mine plan?
Below open pit mining depths, you're less interested in the gram per ton kind of material. So if you looked at our results that we put out, we might put out 100 meters of a gram or 100 meters of a gram and a half in the near surface. And we've been talking openly for some time about the bulk tonnage or open pit mining potential at the top of the LP fault zone. And that's those kind of grades are very comparable to a Canadian Malartic mine or a Detour Lake mine. Both of those have been in the news recently. These are sort of these coveted big scale open pit operations. So we have those intervals, but in the middle of them, what we have at Great Bear is this higher grade core, these high grade panels. And in some instances, those are developed at those larger deposits. In many cases, they were already mined out historically. Those were the first mines that went in historically, took out the high grade and left the low grade halo. In our case, because there's no pre-existing mining, it's all still there in the ground. So that same interval of, say, for round numbers, a gram over 100 meters or a gram and a half over 100 meters, if you take that and you put it down below an open pit depth at 600 or 700 meters, it's very unlikely that is going to be the entirety of it will be mined out. But what you will see is the middle of it. If that's like the holes that we put out now, if you have 3 meters, 4 meters, 5 meters, 20 meters, like the stuff that we just put out of 10 plus grams, or even 5-6 plus grams, those are the kind of intervals that are likely to be amenable to underground mining. So probably below the depth, if you're looking at our hole depths, remember they're all drilled on an angle, below about 400, 500 meters depth in the hole, we're really focused on putting the high grade panels together. And that's what we see, these 23 different high grade domains that we're systematically expanding on at the LP fault. Those are the targets once you get down below that sort of level.
Yeah, Chris, it's nice to see those juicy high-grade results at depth, which would be amenable to underground mining. But let's shift over to some of the 17 shallow drill holes you put in that just expanded along the LP fault strike. So what did you learn from those more shallow drill holes as you expanded things along there?
That's a great question. And this is more characterization of these aren't just a long strike, they're actually a long width. So what you do if you're trying to define an open pit type bulk tonnage resource is there's, for instance, in our case, like imagine a sandwich. And the sandwich has a filling of peanut butter. I like peanut butter sandwiches. So the middle peanut butter is not a very thick layer, but you're kind of greedy for some carbohydrates. So you buy big, thick slices of bread, and maybe they're an inch wide, and you put those beside that central peanut butter layer. And, you know, as you're drilling along the peanut butter layer, defining the high-grade gold, you're really not focused on the bread around that. Whereas these holes that we just put out in the news release are exactly drilling the bread until you stop seeing bread. And, you know, in our case, you can go up to 200 meters away from the middle of the LP fault, and you're still getting gold mineralization. But what we see is the grade tends to increase as you go towards the middle. So the drill holes that we put out, there was a whole series of them in the last release. I believe it was over 15 holes. I'd have to look at the table. But those are from 3.6 kilometers of strike length, and they're drilled within that low-grade halo around the high-grade. So we weren't aiming at the high-grade gold. We're aiming strictly at the bread of the sandwich, and we need to characterize that to build block models of the mineralization and see what's going to come out of the bulk or open pit portion of the deposit. In this case, if you can look at those, you'll see the ranges of mineralization really depending on proximity to center to a large extent. And that will be higher grade towards the middle, lower grade towards the outer margins. And it's up to the resource modelers and mine planners to figure out what the cutoff grade of this deposit's going to be. That's work that we're, of course, doing internally right now as we get ready for resource publication early next year.
Chris, dive a little bit more into the consistency that you are seeing in the low-grade block models or upcoming block models here, because you are right. The grade does get better closer to the center, but some of the further out grade, it's not zero, right? So talk about the consistency then, please.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a problem for us, but one of the really unusual attributes of the Dixie project is you never really don't hit gold. So you can take all the drilling that we've done. I think at this point, it's 670 some drill holes that we've published. There's only a handful of drill holes out of the 670 that don't have any gold in them. And those were when we were drilling way out in the boonies and trying to just randomly explore new geological ideas or targets. Everything else closer to the system has at least anomalous gold in it. And that's really the importance. Like, we had a tour on site on Friday of last week, and we had a dozen different analysts out. We were standing on some areas where you can, we had stripped off the gravel cover that sits on top of the low-grade portion of the system. And I pointed at the low-grade part of that envelope, and you could see, you know, this thing's about 20 or 30 meters long where we've got it exposed, and we're all standing on it. And I said, look, you know, this whole outcrop probably runs 0.2 to 0.3 grams per ton. If you look over on that side over there, it's just under 1 gram per ton. And if you look at the other side over here, it's just over 0.1 grams per ton. And I said, think about this from the resource modeler perspective. On the one side of the outcrop, it's clearly ore grade. When you think about what others are producing, Canadian Malartic, Detour Lake, these kind of things. And on the other side, it's probably not ore grade. And somewhere in the middle here, as the mineralization increases based on economic parameters, you're going to cut it off. The thing is, that outcrop is over 200 meters away from the high grade zones. And it's a huge envelope of this lower grade mineralization. Some of it will ultimately become low grade ore that gets mined, and some of it is waste. And the good thing is, with the, you know, the over 700 holes that we have now in the project, we're finally getting enough data together simply based on the enormous size to start making those decisions and getting that resource preparation work done.
Well, Chris, let's dig into that just a little bit further, in the sense that out of all those holes, I think you 672 holes pushing 700, how many of those are actually going to be included in the block models and the resource estimate? And how much of this drilling you're doing is really upside gravy beyond that, so that people know, you know, where the cutoff is as far as which drill holes made it, which ones are for future growth?
Our current plans are that the deep stuff that we just put out now, that's very unlikely to be included in the initial maiden resource. We did approximately 440 drill holes that'll be in the initial LP fault, shallow LP fault resource. So what we wanted to do was define what could conceivably go into an open pit, bulk tonnage type scenario, how many ounces go into a pit versus how many total ounces there are in the project. The first one we can define within, say, it's been just over 2 years since the discovery, and we think we've got enough drilling to do that already, and that drilling finished in July. The last question, how many total ounces are there on the property? You know, all I can say on that note is our neighbor, the Red Lake Gold Mine, they've been putting ounces together for 80 years. You know, they have still not found the limit to the gold mineralization on that project 80 years later. And it has a similar strike length to what we're looking at for the central portion of the LP fault where we're doing most of our drilling right now. So it's not possible for Great Bear to define all the gold on the project right out of the gate. But even so, just defining the near surface portion of it, we think it will be one of the best, sort of largest, most consistent high-grade gold discoveries with this low-grade envelope, be one of the best gold discoveries made in Canada for a very long time. And we're very eager to show that to the market because we think that's going to be very good for our shareholders. Of course, that's a forward-looking statement. I should put the caveats on that one. But we are very impressed with what we see.
Well, Chris, I think a lot of people are impressed with what they see, the continued drilling here around that LP fault and now even at depth. I want to ask you just kind of a broad question here and answer it however you want. But look, the metals market has been relatively slow. But when everyone looks at Great Bear, a lot of people are saying, who's going to take this company out? This could be a massive transaction for the gold sector, really turn some heads and really monetize for some people large investments and large gains. Do you have any comments on this? Because we have just seen a merger of a couple large mining companies. That seems to be the trend. What can you say to those people saying, who is going to take out Great Bear?
This is a great question. I mean, Great Bear is only interesting to companies that want big, high quality gold projects in Canada. So I would say I'm giving you a bit of a cheeky answer, but we're one of those companies. We love the project. The more work we do, the more value we unlock, and the more value our shareholders should see. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you'd have to be insane to want to give up a project of this quality. At the same time, if you read the news in the metal space, the focus on Canada, large assets, long life assets in Canada. There has been a lot of public chatter around that, and you're starting to see the M&A cycle really picking up. So the Agnico Eagle Kirkland merger, I was expecting to see it, quite frankly. I think it is number one of the big M&A kind of dominoes that are going to fall over the next few months. And there's a lot of discussion about the market being focused on assets like Dixie, like our project. So, you know, I don't think there's any parallels for what we're sitting on here in terms of total potential for projects that are being operated by independent companies. So at the same time that we're very happy with what we have and really want to advance it, I expect that, you know, there's a lot of interest brewing out there. And I expect that what we're going to see is a whole series of dominoes falling here as well. So it's really the only answer I could give you, Corey. But imagine you were sitting on the Dixie project. How eager would you be to give it up when every hole you put in hits more gold, and every time you go in there, you find it's bigger and better looking than it was the previous month?
Fair enough, Chris. It's been fun following along with the company, and I look forward to continue following along because, yeah, you're right. Everywhere it seems like you guys drill, you hit some sort of gold mineralization, and there's a lot of high grade that you guys have been hitting. So we'll keep following up here. I appreciate you addressing that question and the other questions that came in on the back of that recent news. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. Chris, thank you again for your time. We'll touch base on the back of some more news.
Thanks, Corey. Talk to you again soon. Thanks, Shad.